haven't. But you know what? Scripture is true. We don't like to hear it, but the Bible puts it like this. It says, trial and tribulation produces character. Have you got enough character yet? Character will produce hope, and hope will not disappoint. But so often we want to see the good things, but we don't want to experience the bad things. And when I look back at this year gone by, there are some good and not so good things. But you know what? God still leads us, doesn't he? He still loves us, doesn't he? He still, the Bible says he disciplines the one he loves. So if you felt that you've been disciplined this year, it's because God loves you. I think he loves me a little bit too much, but that's another story. Scripture is alive. The Bible says it's alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, so it should speak to us. As I said before, this is a service that I want to bring one or two things in and just be thankful for. And at some point, Matt will come and do a presentation on the ark and the mini ark. And we can just have a snapshot of what God has been doing in us as a church. Because do you know that we are the body of Christ? It says, you know, there may be many different parts, but there's one God, there's one church, there's one family. Yet each part has a function, yes? So wherever you are in the body, then you're important. And that's one of the things that I'd like you to know from the get-go. And some of you will know my story and some of you won't know my story. But the vision that we plant ourselves on in this church is Isaiah 61. Scripture says that he's anointed us to preach good news. And in Isaiah 61, it simply does say that. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. The poor are those that have never heard the gospel. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, but there's a price that needed to be paid. And Jesus came and he paid that price to be an atonement for me and you. That's the good news. The good news is that all who receives him, he gives that promise of eternal life. Death, it says, where is your sting? There's a victory. It says, perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible says that God is love. So if we have that love of Christ in our hearts, it casts out the fear of death. And so that's a good news story. And we've been privileged to be able to share that over the years. It goes on to say, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And I apologize beforehand if there's any tears in the room, because I want to mention something that I think is a privilege. One of the things we was part of last year, probably about 9 months ago, was supporting Frances as she laid her husband to rest. Now, we don't like to talk about death, but death, where is your sting? It's swallowed up in victory. And one of the great things, Frances, is that you've had a lifetime of sharing the good news with your husband before he passed away. And the Bible says that God is a just God. God knows, doesn't he? And it's a privilege. And why do I say that as part of our celebration? It's because, you know, death is part of life and we shouldn't be afraid of it. If you have the opportunity to minister to someone who is in that last breath, that's a privilege. And it was a privilege for me and for this church to be able to serve Frances and her family in her hour of need and as it goes on. That's a celebration. That's something to be thankful for. Why? Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And one of the things I want to say to us, church, today, one of the many things I want to say to us, church, today, is that you are the answer to the question. When I was in school, I've shared this with you before. You know that, if you know me well enough, that I'm dyslexic. And I went to school and I came away from school after serving my many years there with just the clothes I went to school in. I had no qualifications. And I used to like, well, I still do, like food. And my teacher used to say, right, whoever gets this question right can go to lunch first. Well, I was always the last one to go to lunch because I never knew the answer to the question. Until I was 30 when I was asked the question of, do you want to know Jesus? And my hand went up and now I know the answer. Now, that may be poetic, I know, but many of you today, you know the answer to the question. You may not be able to help someone in their hour of need, but you know someone who can. You may not have the answer, but you can get the answer for them, and that answer is Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because when we come to church, we just don't come to church to be a cheerleader for worship or the word or just witnessing hospitality. We come to say, Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Father, we thank you that we've gone through valley experiences, but your word says that we will have trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, God says. And so he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So I want to be a cheerleader, yes. I want to be your cheerleader. I want to be able to say that God is an awesome God, regardless to how much character you've developed over the year, regardless to where you've been. You know, when we look at the people that God has added to our church, we're thankful. When we look at those that are no longer walking with us, we're thankful. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. And if we're part of the same global church, if we're those that are filled with His Spirit, then we would have received something from somebody else, good or not so good. Why? To develop us and encourage us. So we need to be thankful for those that are here and those that are not here with us today. We need to be thankful that God is working. Yes? Is that an amen? Because God is a good God. Now, I have one or two things written down here, which is not like me, but it's a bit jumbled up. But I just want to say, everything we do unto the Lord. So when we do anything, it's not for recognition, but it's for God, isn't it? It's to say, Lord, I want to serve your plans and purposes, and I'm grateful for the vision God gave us, to live like Christ, to love like Christ, to serve like Christ. Our keynote is generosity, and it's grace that saves. You know, where are people that want to minister God's word, yes? You know, we talk about the good and the not so good. We talk about love. In Scripture, it says love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger, love keeps no record of wrongs. You know, it's a tough love. Love came to discipline. Love came to pay the price. God so loved me and you that he gave him his own begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would have life and life in all its fullness. That's the gospel. The gospel is the fullness of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. But that's a challenge. When it comes to preaching and teaching, the Bible says you are worthy of double judgment. He's going to judge those that minister from the front more harshly. Why? Because we're responsible for what we teach. Because so often, many people will just take what the preacher says as gospel without checking it out, without looking through their own Bibles, without studying for themselves. And in this church, it's a privilege to be able to teach. Yes, it's a privilege to be able to preach. It's a privilege to be able to stand here and articulate what God is saying and speaking into my heart. But it's also a privilege for you to check it out. So this year we've had the opportunity, the good and the not so good, to be encouraged and to be encouragers. There's lots of things we do. And we do these
requirements. So we will get started. You can bring up my list of things we have to cover. Right. Seamless. Right. So that we have it on record, we have to get everyone who is a member of the church, and I'll come back to that in a second, to sign this bit of paper so that we know who is here. There was a pen. Where's it gone?
That's not your pen, but that is a
it's got a light on it. I love these pens. Sorry. So if you want to click the pen as it comes around and waste Andrew's little battery in his thing, please feel free to do that. Right. Oh, you got a pen? Leave that with it. As I said, only sign it if you are a member of the church. And the reason why I say that is because, as you know, I think Dave Martin's mentioned this before, if you're a member of the church, we take that as that you are also signing up to be a member of the charity, and from a legal perspective, only members can vote on things that happen as part of the charity. Does that make sense? So if you're not a member, I won't be rude to you today, but if you ask a question and I know you're not a member and I've got a list here, I'll say, sorry, can't take any input from you, because whilst you're here and it's great, but if you're not a member, on the legal side of things, you don't get a say. That's harsh, but legally, per our constitution, that's what it says. So at the end of what we go through, there'll be an election process for the trustees for next year. And I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, per the constitution, we said that if anyone wants to stand to be a trustee, either a new trustee or a trustee again, then to get nominations in. And we've got nominations in. And unless I am told differently, the nominations are surprisingly for the same people. So that kind of makes it easy. So that will happen at the end. Membership, I have mentioned. Finances. So AJ. That was quicker than he thought it was because he went to sit down. He thought I was going to say. So just before or while AJ is setting up, a key focus of the charity side of things is the finances. And most of the trustees meetings that we've had, of which we've had 6 or 7, I think, since last year. So one every 2 months unless we call an extraordinary trustees meeting. So that's why I say 7. Most of the meeting is focused on finances, as you would expect. And in the era of what we started this year, it was all about transparency. So we go through the finances in great deal of detail. And we have opening and challenging discussions about finances and what we do with them and what we don't do with them, what we shouldn't spend money on, what we can spend money on. And AJ has done a very, very thorough job this year. And hopefully all will become clear when he presents them.
So I'm going to talk about the financial year up to the 31st of March this year, so just ended. I'm probably going to give you a little bit more detail than you used to, but as Phil said, it's important that we try and be as open and as transparent and as upfront as we can about income going in and coming out. And obviously there'll be an opportunity for questions afterwards as well. There you go. So first of all, just start with a thank you, as far as all you are concerned. So I wanted to start on a kind of lighter note. Yeah, but thank you for your patience with me as I've sought to kind of get a grip on everything and run it. So thank you for your patience in doing that. So I'm going to start by looking at our income. First of all, you may be aware that the ARC income wasn't included in the accounts for the previous year, the 15-16 year, but we have included it this year, total income from ARC of about 1741. Some of that, as you know, was restricted for Maureen's wheelchair. This is our giving. As far as I can tell, Derek included the specific giving for Khufu in the generalised giving for 15-16. So for comparison, I've done the same again today. So you'll be aware that there are families and households that left kind of late spring, early summer last year, and other families that started as well. So giving has gone both up and down a little bit over the 12 months or so. So our total giving, including both of those two, is down by about £8,000. No, that's not right. I think it's about £5,500, I think. I didn't update my notes. One of the things I do want to say is that we're really grateful. I'm sure I speak on behalf of the trustees that we're really grateful for all the giving that everyone does. I know people give in different ways, some regularly, some less regularly, some we can reclaim the tax on, some we can't, and so on. But we're really grateful for the fact that members of the church here give faithfully and regularly and generously and sacrificially, and that really helps us in terms of our budgeting and our planning. It's helpful for me if those that do give through standing order. That makes my life easier and makes the planning and budgeting a little bit easier. One of the things I did want to say was that if you want to give regularly but want to do so anonymously, you can do so through either of these two ways, CAF or stewardship. So if you want to do that, you can do that way. So I thought I'd just quickly mention that one. And one of the other things I wanted to say as well was that those of you who've completed a tax aid form, that enables us to reclaim the tax on the money that you pay. We can obviously only do that if we can identify the money that you give. So if you pay, if you give rather by standing order or by check or in an envelope with your name on it, that's fine. But to be able to reclaim the tax, we do need to identify your giving. So the tax reclaim this year was up about £2,500. Mainly that's because this year we utilised the Gift Aid Small Donations Scheme, got about £2,500 from that. Miscellaneous giving, we sold the minibus and we got some compensation back from the bank, so about £1,640 as far as that's concerned. There was some giving in the 15-16 financial year for the youth camp, which obviously doesn't apply for the year that I've been talking about. Church events, obviously we don't run them to raise money, but they do produce a small amount of income. So church events raised about 380. Yes, that's net profit after expenses, yes. So our total income over the year compared to the 15-16 year was down by about £5,500. So then if we look at our expenses, again if we start with ARC expenses, 1657. Andrew's costs, I just want to reiterate, we're down by about £6,000 or so for the 16-17 year. I just want to kind of reiterate a couple of points that the trustees have made before, just to try and get this as clear as I possibly can. The church does not employ Andrew. He's an independent contractor. He charges us for the services he provides as our pastor. And I'm sure that from a church perspective, we recognize him as a pastor and we're happy and comfortable with that. But that's the position as far as the kind of financial side is concerned. So he submits an invoice to the trustees at an agreed rate, and then we pay that invoice for him. So in that sense, he's like your builder or your plumber or your accountant or whatever it might be. Out of what he charges us, a portion of that is obviously his income, a portion of that is obviously his expenses. But in the same way that with your builder or plumber or accountant, their income is not our business, in the same way how Andrew arranges his finance, his income is really not our business either, I'm going to suggest. The issue that the trustees have to determine is what Andrew charges us appropriate for the services that he provides? And at the moment, the trustees have decided that it is, so we're continuing to do that. Buildings maintenance was down a little bit. This is both buildings and insurance, down a little bit this year. Food and drink down by about £500 less, mainly, I think, because we weren't buying food and drink for the various other ministries. Giving to Khufu is up a couple of £1,000, or a little bit less than that, I think, 1.5 roughly, mainly because we were able to allocate the tax reclaimed on the giving for Khufu. Our total charitable giving over the year is a little under 8%, which constitutes both what we give from church funds and also what we give, what we pass on that people give into the church and we then pass on for them. Rent and utilities is roughly halved, again, because we weren't paying for various rent and utilities for the different ministries, which we were the 15-16 year. Miscellaneous expenses up just a little bit. Now, I was aware on doing this that I put £3,000 worth of miscellaneous expenses, and you probably wonder where on earth all that has gone. So certainly that was the case when I looked at it. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of a breakdown so you know. So just under £300 of on child protection fees, conferences, costs and subscription, about £500. Furniture, there was one gift. Insuring the minibus for the first few months of the year. Miscellaneous was things like the independent examinations, some first aid, some stationery, and then service costs. That's things like newsletters, communion cups, the CCLI fee, that kind of thing. youth camp quite a lot, as you can imagine, the 15, 16 year. I have assumed that Andy Bradley's costs were contained in that for the 15, 16 year, although I can't be certain. But for comparison, I've done the same. So for the 16, 17 year, there's about £1,000 worth of Andy Bradley's costs and then some fees that were paid in, which we refunded back to the givers because obviously the youth camp didn't happen. So total expenses then were down by about £13,000. Now, I've got to be honest, one of the things that did concern me when I took over as treasurer was for the last 2 years, the church's expenses exceeded its income. And in fact, for four of the last 5 years, the church's expenses have exceeded its income. Now, I'm quite uncomfortable with that. I don't think as a church that's a good position for us to be in. It's clearly not good financially. It's not sustainable financially. But from a stewardship point of view, as a church and as a body of Christians, we need to live within our means, whatever our means may be. So I am really, really pleased that this year we've kept our expenses less than our income. So for the 15-16 year, expenses exceeded income by about £6,600. For the current year that I'm talking about, 16-17 year, our expenses were less than our income by about £900. So although our income is down, because we've managed to make significant savings with our expenses, we are actually in a much better position financially than we were this time last year. And I'm aware that I don't generate the money. That's up to all of us in terms of our giving, to give generously and happily and joyfully and sacrificially. And I'm aware that I don't necessarily make all the decisions on the expenses as well. Those are made by the broader trustee body. But I'm sure I speak on behalf of the trustees that I just want to say thank you to all of you for giving as you do, which enables the church to run as it does. A few other things just to bring to your attention. When I took over as treasurer, we didn't have any funds in reserve. Now, we ought to have funds in reserve, really, although it's not an absolute essential. It is a recommendation. So we have put a reserves policy in place, and we have started to put some money by in reserve for emergencies, the unexpected, and so on. So we've got 1250 in reserve at the moment. So we started that process off and hope to add to it through the rest of the year. We also had, coming in the 16-17 year, funds from Excel, Seedlings and All Sorts, just over £3,700. The trustees were aware that the people who gave that money probably didn't expect it to necessarily end up in generalised church funds. So for the moment at least, the trustees have designated this money for things which would benefit families and children, because that was the intention of the original givers. That position may change, but that's the situation where we are at the moment. So we are using that for spending on various things that help the children. So, for example, we've put a gate out between the two classrooms so they can go between the two without any risk of running into the car park. We've changed some of the chairs. The previous ones weren't particularly safe. There's some children's Bibles, some of the family events and so on. We've spent just over £1,000, about 2690 left of that. One other thing just to bring to your attention, many of us will know that the Norwich and Peterborough Building Society is closing down. We have our account with the Norwich and Peterborough. So throughout this summer, we will have to change our account from the Norwich and Peterborough to another bank. So anyone who does their giving by standing order will need to complete a new standing order form. Now, obviously, I'm going to kind of guide you through that as we go, depending on, we've just started that process off, but as you can imagine, it's quite a complicated one, getting all the ID and signatures and innumerable forms and all that kind of palaver. So we're just going to start that process off at the moment. But it did, you know, cross my mind, as it were, that it might be something that, because those that give by standing order will need to do a form anyway, it might be something that we want to start thinking and praying about, whether we want to adjust our giving, as that will occur through this summer. And one other thing just to bring to your attention as well is that I am looking to make sure all the gift dates information is all up to date. So over the next couple of weeks, I think, I'm going to ask Dave Martin to send an email around to as many as people as, certainly members and others as well, regular attenders and so on, just to make quite sure that we've got all our gift aid information is accurate and up to date, and that we're doing all the right thing as far as that's concerned. So that concludes my presentation. I thought you'd leave you with that, just in case you're a bit unsure what to put in the bag as it comes round. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah, Jill. Thank you. Thank you, Jill. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, so if you stick with the first column, I'll be happy, okay? Thank you.
Can have my children. For those of you who've just got to the bottom right-hand corner. Okay, so other things just to note, and then we can kind of open the floor for any questions. We want to thank Dave Martin. So he kind of acts as our scribe through meetings. As Andrew's PA, he kind of comes along to the meetings and he acts as our scribes. But he also has the history of everything that's kind of gone on in terms of the legal side of things of the church. And there's a raft of policies and procedures that, as a charity, we have to follow and have to document and have to try and abide by. And Dave has had the great task this year of trying to bring things up to date. It is an ongoing process, but it covers things like safeguarding, health and safety, and lots and lots and lots and of other things. Yes, there you go. But there's probably a list of about 15 to 20, yeah, probably 15 different policies and procedures that we ought to have in place. We do have them. Some of them are documented, some of them aren't documented, but we're going through that process as trustees of making sure they're documented and then making sure that they are implemented. So that's just to let you know that is going on. The other thing that we are reviewing is the Constitution. So the Constitution was first drafted when the church started 11 years ago. It was updated about 4 years after that, so it hasn't been updated for about 7 years. And there's certain things in there which are either no longer relevant or the current body of trustees have read and gone, we're not sure we agree that that should be in there in the first place. And some of that relates to, you know, the election of the trustees, how long a trustee stays on board, what else is in there that we've had. Yes, the objects, that's the main one. I was thinking there is a key one on the first page. What was it? So when the charity started, it had three or four different objects. So an object is the purpose of the charity. And then when it was redrafted, the objects were reduced to one object, which was basically to do with growing the Christian faith in the surrounding areas, and it was limited to that. So technically, from a charity's perspective, we are limited in what we can do. So you can see a situation where actually, as a charity, we are doing something, I don't know, you know, if it was another kids group, if that is not specifically to spread the Christian faith in the surrounding areas, then arguably, from a charity's perspective, we shouldn't be taking any donations or anything to help with that because it's not meeting one of the charity's objects. Does that make sense? That's probably a really poor example, but that was just off the top of my head. So we're looking at that and reviewing that and reviewing it in the context of what other church charities do of a similar kind of status to our church. And we will come back over the next couple of months on that. In order for us to change the Constitution, we will have to have an extraordinary general meeting where members will have to vote that they are happy with the changes that we've made before we can then submit it to the Charities Commission, and then we go through a process with the Charities Commission of them agreeing whether the changes we've made are legitimate. And then we probably have to come back and have another meeting to make sure that everyone's happy with the changes. So anyway, you can see it's a fun role. because we get steeped in legislation and stuff like that. So they are the two key other matters I wanted to make. While we're here, open forum, if you remember, do you have any questions on anything to do with either what AJ said, what I've said, any other things that you think are relevant to the charity side of the church, and we will do our best to answer them. Nope, good. Okay. Just ask us any time. Everything is open. I think as a member, you are permitted to, find out what's going on, read anything that Caroline as the secretary has got on the files, all that kind of stuff. Feel free to ask questions whenever. Okay, election of trustees. Oh, am I missing something? So we think this is probably up to date, so I won't pass it around, but can we leave this? So we'll have this out for the next few weeks just at the front. If you maybe just put a tick beside your name if you think that your address is right. I'm just checking mine. Yeah, that'll do. Re-election of trustees. Do current trustees want to come forward? Right. Okay. So these are current trustees. Matt is a current trustee. Has either gone home or is outside. He is not going to re-stand as trustee, so he has asked, given other things he's got going on, that he can step down, so we thank him for his service over the last while. With a show of hands, and I will actually count, because we had questions last year on counts, so I will count. Is everybody happy with AJ being re-elected as a trustee? I'm not counting them because they're trustees. I'm being very proper about this. So that's AJ. With a show of hands for Caroline. See, I'm not including Andrew. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. For Pauline. Okay, it's the same hands, so that makes it easy. I don't have to count again. For me, and at present, we don't need to re-elect Andrew because the way the constitution is formed, he remains as an active trustee. Phil. Okay. Hi. Right. Any other questions? Yes. Pass. 47. Don't know what it was in the past. Yes. I think we've taken this year as an opportunity to try and actually define what the membership is. Is the best answer. What it was before, who knows? Okay. Any other questions? No. Good. Done.